Welcome to episode 11 of the Eat the Evidence podcast, a show about cake and cookie decorating and sugar arts of all kinds. I'm your host, Kimberly Chapman, and on today's show, I'm joined by Megan Allison and Casey Lackey from Innovative Sugar Works. We'll talk about the highs and lows of being professional-grade cake tool manufacturers and marketers, plus chat about our cake lives in general. So whether you're using your favorite tool on a project right now, on a plane shuttling between international classes and cake shows, or just hanging out after a busy period of your own, let's get this show started to keep you informed and inspired along your way. Joining me now are Megan Allison and Casey Lackey of Innovative Sugar Works. How's it going, guys?
Great.
It's good.
You're in that room packing up exciting things.
Oh, yes. We are preparing all materials for shipment. And I'm lovingly hand-packing every one. So if you have an issue, you can just be like, Casey, what did you do?
Yeah, so we had been sold out and needed to do a redesign of the first generation of the armatures. And so now we have the second design, and it's new and improved and better than ever. So we're just packing those up to get out to everyone. We have a tutorial coming. It should be released in 2 weeks, and it shows how to use the armature kits and also make Molly Moo, the standing four-legged cow, on
make
the box.
Make it a coo. If you live in Scotland, you can make it into a wee hatty coo.
Jackie's going to hunt you down for that one.
I know. Jackie's going to hunt me down anyway.
Okay. There's your action movie.
I have a price on my head. Everybody wants me. Okay.
But we should...
Hold on. Sorry, Kim.
It's probably Jackie Kelly, and she's come to kick your butt.
She's come. She found me already. That was fast.
She's very fast. She's the cake ninja.
Oh, I can get the stickers.
Yay, stickers!
For cutters.
Hooray! Yeah, okay.
Why don't you explain what the sugar structures are? Because there are inevitably people who haven't heard of them.
So the sugar structures are my little brainchild that came about because of teaching. I've spent past 8 years teaching around the world and constantly running into the problem that certain things that we can get here in the States aren't available in the rest of the world, most of them being like little small hardware pieces, and just came from a desire of me wanting to standardize the industry. I mean, it makes it so much easier if everybody can use the same thing to achieve the same ends. And so when Megan and her husband, Chris, asked me to come on with Sugarworks to help be a designer from like day one, I was like, armature, please. Can we do armature? And so this is basically 6 years of me wanting to do something finally coming together. And it's great because it's food safe. It's made from high quality aluminum that's reusable, that's washable. And you don't have to worry about wrapping it to insert in a cake like you have to do with some plastics and all metals. So it's my child. I gave birth this past year, and this is my baby.
I mean, they're pretty awesome. You've given me some samples that I've been meaning to play with. I have a nefarious plan. It just it didn't come to fruition when I needed it to, and now it's sort of been shelved to the fall. Because I have your crafty class,
yes,
where you talk about the black pipe.
Yep.
I saw that you had, through one of your venues in the States, there was a thing where you could buy the kit for that class of the black pipe. But even with shipping to the UK, it was a little bit like, I don't sell cakes. This is expensive. And so I tried pricing the parts here, and they just don't have them. I mean, my PVC, that Charlotte pipe, that hard PVC you can get at Home Depot?
Yeah, you don't get that in the UK.
There's nothing like that here. I even took a sample to B&Q is the Home Depot equivalent. Yep. It's even orange. It's the same. I wonder if it's the same parent company or whatever. I took a piece of Charlotte pipe to them, and I was like, I want this. I want rigid PVC pipe. And they're like, let's check our trade desk. And I go to the trade desk. I mean, this is like for the hardcore plumbers. And they're like, wow, we've never seen anything. No, it has to be flexible because it has water going through it. I said, no. It has to be hard because I'm putting a cake on it. And they look at me like I'm crazy.
Well, yeah, because all they use out there is PEX pipe, and PEX pipe is good for some things. But, yeah, then that's the problem. I mean, it's frustrating if you take a class and you learn how to do something with this material and then you can't find it or anything even like it, which, funny enough, like the UK was always the worst about that. It was the UK and then Australia. Australia, they have something similar, but it's really big, like it's half inch or like 5 millimeters. But you guys in the UK, like nothing like it.
No.
So it was just something for me. I'm like, I'd be mad if I like, I just paid like £500 for a class and I can't replicate this project ever. And then Chrissy Boone from Icing Inspirations was the one that was shipping out armature for me because her brother-in-law, somebody is a plumber and actually could get a better deal on it than I could. And she has like a company anyway, so she could ship it out, but it still was just prohibitively expensive. And yeah, I'm so happy it's out now.
Also, you know, I find that all of the time it takes to prepare to make the cake that you designed, it's just sort of, you know, it's not practical if you're running a business to have to go source product on your own and spend hours, you know, jimmy rigging something up when, you know, you just want to whether you're a hobbyist or a professional, you really just want to, at the end of the day, make the cake you have designed.
Yeah.
And with a lot of our products, you know, we have taken items from other industries and redesigned them for food use. And I think that's really important to do and to offer.
Well, I mean, because already, like, in this industry, you have to be a baker, an artist, an architect,
an engineer,
and a magician. You have to be a witch. And so it's just nice to be able to say, like, okay, you don't have to be an engineer to make a 3D structured cake. Like, we've given you the bones. Like, here are the bones, put things on it.
Yeah, and for people who haven't heard or seen the sugar structures, we offer them in 4 kits. So we have 2-legged standing and 4-legged standing, and then we also have a 2-legged running and a 4-legged running. But in addition to that, we have add-on packs. So every piece, every elbow, angle, length of pipe is available to purchase on its own. So at the end of the day, it's sort of like Legos. You can design any structure that you need or can imagine. We just put the base kits together because those are pretty standard designs people would use. But
they're the ones that I felt were the most popular and the most versatile.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and we're also really open to suggestions. So if you're like, hey, we need like a longer piece, like that's one thing I love about this company, because we are small and we are, with the exception of Chris, we're all former decorators in some sense the word. Like, we understand what people need and we're open to like making changes and taking suggestions, which a lot of companies aren't.
Well, I think it's important, and that's sort of, you know, having Casey on the ground and teaching classes and being actively involved in the industry, it really helps us stay current to develop tools that people need.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's important for anyone listening to understand, too, that those kits all play together. I mean, you've portioned out things, so if someone just wants one kit that they're going to do over and over again, that's fine. But if you have them all, you just have an array of parts that can do many, many, many things.
All the ones that we're packing out right now also came in my stuff for my shop that I use. And I just I ended up buying like 10 of each kit and then 10 of each add-on pack just to have in stock. And I can build anything with it. I've already given my own notes. They're like, hey, I need this angle now and I need this length of pipe. So there's also a lot of like Casey being like, can I have this now? Thank you. It's nice to have something that everybody can use, because it's just that all I can say is like from teaching and traveling, like I remember going to South Africa and having to use copper tubing because that's all they could find. And in China, I remember the black pipe is made in China, but they don't sell it in China. They ship it all to America. So you're just like, well, dang it. So it's nice to say, you can still come up with something on your own if you want to do the hard part yourself, but now you don't have to if you don't want to.
Well, and for people like me, I don't have a shop. I don't have a bandsaw. I mean, you know, I learned my first structure stuff from, you know, the cake god, Mike McCary, right? And he makes, I mean, there's a guy who knows structure, right? And
yes.
I've seen his structure classes and things like that. You know, but even he says, because remember there was at the Austin Cake Show, there was the lady who won with the big dragon cake.
Dragon.
Yeah, and then there was all this controversy because then someone accused her of, she didn't do her own welding. Mike McCary's up there going, I don't do my own welding. It's like, good,
yeah.
He's spoken, that's right. But, you know, he does do
a lot. I mean, he's cutting his copper pipe, and he has something that can cut a giant thing of all thread. I don't have a thing that can cut a giant thing of all thread.
I don't either. I don't even have a saw. Like, actually, because Mike is a big proponent of using wood in the structures, and I'm not. I use foam core because I'm super clumsy, and you give me a bandsaw and ask me to cut something, and I'm going to lose a finger. And I like my fingers where they are, and blood doesn't taste good.
We're all relieved that you said that.
Anybody that knows me or has ever had a class with me realizes how clumsy I am and how, like, I shouldn't be allowed around fragile, sharp, or hot things. And I work with all of them. So I've designed these to work with how I build things out of foam core because I think it's a lot more forgiving and a lot easier to work with. And it is something you can buy everywhere except for India. India is the only country that I've run into that just doesn't have it, period.
They don't have it all. Wow. Because, yeah, here I can only get, I've got right beside me a sheet of 5mm here, but the 10mm.
I sent you the link.
You did send me the link of 10mm, but I'd already found this one at the craft store. So, yeah. You know, I can glue 2 5mm together. I have a hot glue gun. So that, but if there was no foam core at all, man, yeah, then I guess you're going to plywood.
And I'm still convinced because they can get foam core in the UAE. And I'm like, they're right next to each other. Just mail it. But that's been the interesting thing. And I'd say, like, especially with this company, like, one of the most valuable things is, like, when you're trying to build something that works globally, like, knowing what the global market is and what you can find. So there's and constantly tweaking. Like, I've already gotten an idea with our armature for people that do like to use wood of doing, like, an extra piece that makes it easier to work on wood. So we're always tweaking and picking and, like, designing stuff and trying to make it gooder, better, faster, stronger, like Kanye.
But look, as we should explain to people, so with the foam core, because you've got your metal structure and the foam core is kind of like the elevated board that's going to hold the cake.
And we will have videos up of how to assemble all the armatures and showing, I think each one we're going to show how to make what I call it the pipe sandwich. Your foam core becomes bread and the pipe becomes your meaty filling and you're making a Cuban. And so we're going to show how to put the boards on it the way I like to do it. But yeah, it's your elevated cake plate. Some people prefer to use wood. I've seen people that will use plastic. I don't know who can get plastic pieces like made to order and cut. Like that's hard. Yeah, it's just basically like this is what it sits on. And foam core is very strong and very easy to cut. You don't need special equipment. You can use one of our brand new, what are we calling them, sugar blades?
Mm-hmm.
Sugar blades.
Ooh, what's that?
They're just fancy X-Acto knives.
Yeah.
Okay.
We use X-Acto knives in quite a bit of the, you know, cutting and cake decorating, so.
Yeah, I seriously think, like, if I don't think I could make cakes without an X-Acto knife. I would cry. My X-Acto knife and my sugar shapers. Don't take them from me. They're mine.
Oh, yeah. My sugar shapers are right here beside me. I'm really in love. Let's tell the people what the sugar shapers are in case there's anyone left on the planet who doesn't know.
Sugar shapers! They were, again, another thing that was an art tool that I used to use called color shapers, actually, that we redesigned to make
ergonomic
double-ended. Because before they were single-ended and they had a ferrule. A ferrule is like a metal bit of a paintbrush that for me, because I like to use the whole tool as I'm working, I used to always get little dings in my fondant from the ferrule catching. And then also having to have like 12 different tools around, or actually with me, I had 36 because I had all these different durometers, the hardnesses. And so, yeah, it was hard to take it and like condense it and make them. You can use them with isomalt. You can use them on frozen treats. You can use them on everything. Like I love seeing
chocolate.
There's a florist that works out of my space that uses them to open up flowers now. She's fallen in love with the orange one. And she sits there and I've watched her like take it and like open up roses to put in arrangements. I'm like, they are good for everything.
my orange ones, and it's because I like the soft minis are my favorite, but the orange and blue of both the soft, I can never find where they are because I've just used them.
Yep. Mine, they roll under my boards all the time and I'm always like, get out. And yeah, and like the orange one was my little baby that I wanted to do because the color shapers, the paintbrushes came in 5. That was like, I kind of like tweaked some of the heads a little bit, but I always said, I'm like, this, I want a flexible bone tool. Like I've wanted this for years. So I was like, yay, I finally have one.
You know, I'm curious if we should maybe talk about, we have someone who is imitating or ripping off our products now, which we, you know, just had
so
them
sad.
Taken off of Amazon, but they've actually stolen our copyrighted images My hands are in the photos.
Mine are in some of them.
Yeah.
And
it's great that we've had a successful product and it's our flagship product. But at the same time, you know, being in manufacturing and someone seeing that you're doing well, yeah, it's frustrating because now they are literally copying our text and our images and selling an inferior product.
Yeah.
And it's really just, number one, we don't want people to waste money buying garbage tools. And number two, it would say I'm a little protective of our brand reputation because we really have always focused on having quality tools, professional grade.
I mean, it's half the reason that we did the redesign on the armature was because we had this product that was a good product. But then through me using it continuously over a couple of months, I saw problems developing. I was like, hey, it's not as durable as we wanted. Like, we want it to work for longer than this. Like, maybe we should change the threading a little bit. Maybe we should change how it's connected. Like, so we're always like, we value our reputation and how our products stack up. And I've personally gotten a couple of emails from people that have bought the knockoffs very angry, being like, I bought your product. And I was like, and they sent me a picture and I was like, those are not our product. Like, that is... because they're very easy to tell. They're all pink. They're all like a pale pink color.
Oh.
And they suck. Sorry.
Yeah.
So I'll say it not nicely. They suck. Don't buy them.
No, I can believe it.
I guess they're only like $10, but you get what you pay for.
I believe it because, you know, FMM has that thing they call the easiest rose cutter, right? It looks like cloud thing. Yeah, so I got one of those, I don't know, like from Squires or whatever. I got one of those, and so they're not hugely expensive. They're 4 or 5 pounds, and you come. There's a large one, and then there's like a set of two smaller ones, or whatever. I got them all in one of those sales with a coupon type thing, but like the legit product. And I do sometimes shop on, you know, discount Chinese sites because I can get, you know, kitchen tools, you know, a whisk. I can get a whisk, or I can get generic cutters like. You know, nothing that anyone's patented, you know, just generic, cheap, you know, snowflake, whatever.
Simple shapes. Like simple shapes. Squares.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I can get stuff like that. But on that site, I'm constantly seeing that same cutter. And so I've seen FMM come out on Facebook and say, look, when you buy our real product, not only are you supporting us in our innovation, which is important, but you're getting a better quality. And they've talked about how, and I would believe this, that the cheap knockoff is a very rigid plastic that's going to break after your fifth time using it. So you're not saving any money.
Oh, yeah.
If you buy it for one pound versus 4 pounds. Yeah.
It's the same thing with the molds. Like, people are always, and this is where I laugh with cake decorators, is what is the one thing we get all up in arms about is people, like, not willing to pay us for our work or people, like, trying to undercut us and whatnot. Like, that's something you get a group of cake decorators together within 5 minutes we're talking about, like, this person down the street is only charging $1 a slice for this and she undercut me. And I'm like, yeah. And but then at the same time, a lot of times you'll hear people complain that products are expensive and then they'll go buy the knockoffs and then complain that the knockoffs didn't work. Or like, if you just buy the quality product the first time out, like, I do it too. Like, I'm most people, especially with molds, like, and stencils. I'm really good friends with Robin from Evil Cake Genius, and she's actually in a legal battle with people that are completely copying her stencils.
Yeah.
And I know Dominic from Marvelous Molds has done the same thing, like trying to stand up and like, these are mine. And what a lot of people don't realize is you buy some of these knockoff products, like our knockoff shapers, like they're not food safe. They're not made with food safe plastic, and they're not, and a lot of those stencils and the molds are not made with food safe material. And they degenerate and they do all that stuff. Like, it's hard.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's hard because, you know, obviously as a consumer, you want to, you know,
get
the best deal, save money where you can, especially, you know, if you're buying cake decorating tools left and right, it adds up really quickly. I feel for the customer, but, you know, also for
the designer
in the business, it's intellectual property. It's hours of work, years of developing things to deliver something quality to the customer. And so if you see a knockoff product, you might, you know, consider.
I mean, and if it's all you can get, like, I've been to places where they're like, well, all we can get are the Chinese knockoffs because it's too expensive to import it from the States or from the UK or from Australia. And I'm like, you know, you do what you can do. Like, you, like, I'm never going to be like, if I see somebody using it, I'm knockoff, I'm like, shame on you. I'm never going to say that, because I've been in this industry for 12 years and God knows I've bought knockoff products at one point in time, but being in the industry now and being from the other side, like, I see things from the other side now. I've come to the dark side. We have cake. And yeah, you, like, I make a point to buy from the original person, because for me, it's a, like, I would want that someone to do it for me, but I don't, it's not something like, I don't sound like I'm scolding people, but like, I'm not scolding people, but it's,
well, you don't,
like, no, it's just sort of like, well, don't waste your money.
Yeah. Please don't waste your money. Just buy the nice thing, because we stand by our product. If something happened to the shapers, like, we had somebody that had one broken by customs.
I think Ruth Rickey's dog chewed hers up.
Yes, so we sent her another one.
Yeah,
here you go, Ruth.
But, you know, I think more than anything, it's that we, you know, worked hard to develop something that we're proud of, and we developed it because we are cake decorators who are making products for other cake decorators. And we've all worked in bakeries, run small businesses, and, you know, every dollar that you have counts. And so I think in general, you know, if you know you're only going to need something for one cake, buying a cheaper version or a less expensive tool is fine. But, you know, if you know you're going to use something day in and day out, whether you're a hobbyist and you do it on the weekends, or you're running a business, it's sort of, you know, I think important to have quality tools.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, well, with molds in particular, if you're buying a knockoff, it is literally a copy of a copy, or possibly a copy of a copy of a copy, and you're losing the detail.
It's half-life.
Yeah, so, I mean, I've seen cheap silicon molds or cheap lace mats, you know, because they come, sometimes they're in goodie bags or whatever, right? And sometimes, because you'll get a lace mat, you'll see a lace, there's one, I don't want to name the company, but a company was asking me to review some products, and I said, fine. I have reviewed a couple of their things on my site, but kind of as I was going along, I started realizing, I think this company might be dealing in knockoffs. And again, I don't want to get too many specifics, because I don't want to get sued. Yeah. But because remember, we don't have truth as a protection here for libel. But no, I'm serious. That is not. But they...
That's screwed up.
When they sent me the stuff, right away there was a lace mat in the box that I recognized, because I had that exact same mat. But at first I was like, well, now one of these is knocked off the other. I don't know which is which, because where I got the other mat was like at a local discount store. So I don't know if the discount store was a legit it could have been a legit product. I don't know who had it first. So I thought, okay, whatever. But sort of as I was going through more things, I was like, oh, this other thing they sent me looks really like one of the first impressions things I know about. Mm-hmm. And this other thing that, oh, this really looks like a Fat Daddy-O's product. And those are brands that I know are original brands. So yeah. I was really careful to sort of review some of the stuff that they gave me that probably was more generic. In the meantime, their company name changed anyway, and the person I was working with seems to have gone away. So I've kind of just stopped reviewing the stuff from that box, because like, I'm worried about, oh, someone's going to get mad at me if I review something that's their company's knockoff.
Well, I mean, I'll say for me, I did it when I first started the People's Cake. I mean, when you start a business, I was lucky enough that I didn't have to lay out all my money at once. I had started a business in Nashville, Tennessee. And then I moved up to Seattle. And so I had certain things, like I had some mixers, I had some tables, I had this, but when I like started the People's Cake, I had to suddenly buy like 10 of everything. And like, when you're looking at even spatulas, like even from CK, when you're getting a huge, like what I think is a fairly huge discount, because they sell you at, you know, half wholesale. It's still like, I think I laid out probably 10 grand in just stuff, cake pans, sheet pans, speed racks. And at the time, I'd gotten an email from a Chinese company that, like, and I don't want to, like, I'm not, like, bashing Chinese, because they do some great products, too. But, like, from this company that I was like, oh, my God, these things are so cheap and so affordable. It's awesome. And I bought a bunch of stuff from them. A, the package showed up. It smelled like diesel fuel.
Yeah.
And it was like, spatulas and cake tins and some Silpats and... All of it deteriorated within 60 days. Like, I had to buy it all again. And I was like, well, I just wasted, you know, almost $1,000 on products. I wish I just bought the real thing or brought, it's that thing of like, buy something cheap, you'll have to buy it again. Buy something nice, you usually have to buy it once. I've got spatulas now that like I've had for 6-7 years. And I think like my $30 spatula that I have for 7 years is totally paid for itself.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I've set up a business, but I haven't actually done anything with it yet. Probably cause I'm waiting for Robin to start school in a couple of weeks. Yay.
Go to school, child.
Yes. Basically. I just can't wait. It's going to be so awesome every day. But
you can start drinking at noon. You're not here anymore.
Yeah.
But some of my friends here have asked me to teach cake classes, and so they can tell me exactly what they want to learn and teach them classes. But I don't have like a dozen rollers. Okay, so yeah. That's where I would go to a thing like AliExpress or whatever, because cheap nylon rollers for a class, right? They're not making something that's going into a show cake. I don't mind if they're used and abused. Half the time, those are going to be the same rollers that I can buy at the cake store in town. Just I'm buying them from the manufacturer because the manufacturer is a Chinese manufacturer. So that's the legit thing. But when I am thinking of teaching a class with that easiest rose cutter ever, and what I'm going to do is go to FMM and go, can I get a batch discount? And like, because maybe I could even, you know, include everyone gets one in the class, because, you know, people love that with the classes. You get to take the tool home. So, like, I would rather approach them for something specific like that and pay what I need to pay. But for rollers and work mats, yeah, that's where I'm going to get the cheap stuff.
I mean, my rolling pins that I use, because I love Nicholas Lodge's sellboard. Like, I like it because I like the size and I like how it's spread out, so you don't have to roll a bazillion in one pedals. You can get 5 big pedals in one go. But it's 1 foot wide, so I actually went and had my own rolling pins made. We have a company called Tap Plastics, and most places have something where you can get extruded acrylic that is food safe and fine and, like, works for sugar flowers. And I just had them cut mine, and I jokingly call them my 75-cent rolling pins because they're 13 inches. They work perfectly with that cell board, and they're awesome. So there are always, like, the same thing that people use PVC as rolling pins. I can't do that. I've tried. I sliced my hand open with a PVC rolling pin.
I've used the Charlotte pipe as a rolling pin. And honestly, if I was setting up the same business back in Austin, I'd go to Home Depot and I'd buy a bunch of Charlotte pipe and cut it up and say, these are our rolling pins for class.
Yep.
But I did not think that's expensive import here. So my favorite rolling pin is one I found at the British Sugarcraft Guild show in Telford.
I got it from a company called Be Creative. They are based in East Sussex, so I will put their website in the show notes.
It's made out of Teflon, and it weighs, it's weird. Like, it's a regular short rolling pin, like the mini rolling pin, right? Except instead of being nylon, it's white Teflon. It weighs so much that, like, if you're rolling out particularly something like your flour, petal paste, gum paste, whatever you want to call it, depending on which side of the ocean you're on, if you're rolling that out, like, roll once and it's done. And
really?
Yeah, and it's get this. This is my favorite part. I really need to post a review of it. It doesn't stain. And here's how I tested it. I took the end of it and mashed it into some Americolor Super Red and let it sit overnight, and it washed off.
Ooh.
Yeah, like Americolor Super Red doesn't wash off of anything.
Yeah, no. Or the black.
Or the black. Well, the black wash, you get the green washes off and the red stays behind.
Yeah.
Because it's the two-tone thing.
And everything ends up hot pink. Like, I had a thing of, oh my God, this is a funny story. I think it was the last trip I did to Singapore. Sorry. They all blend together. But we do this unicorn. I do this, not the Crafts unicorn. It's the Yuri, the running unicorn. And he's got glittery hooves. And so I had all this disco dust, like big containers of disco dust in my suitcase. And I always travel with some of the Amerigel black and super red because it can be hard to find in certain countries, and it's like the black, some blacks don't color as well as that one, so I always have it with me. Oh my God, they dropped my suitcase somewhere.
Oh no.
And these are like 56 gram containers, like the size that we sell containers of disco dust. We sell the petal dust, not the disco dust, but like these 56 gram containers, 5 of them, and an entire giant thing of super black in my suitcase on everything. Like, you want to talk about a serious case of the glurpees. I threw that suitcase away.
There's no getting that back.
No. It was kind of like I was just in Nashville to do a wedding cake for one of my sister's friends. And just don't ever half red food coloring. Just don't do it. Because I packed red food coloring and passion fruit puree. Landed in Nashville, of course, somewhere in my suitcase. And I thought I'd frozen them. I triple wrapped them. I triple bagged them. They were in, like, plastic containers. I was like, there's no way these are exploding. Yeah, they totally did. They thought it was blood.
Oh, God.
So they were like, we have to call airport security. And I'm like, why? They're like, well, because there's blood coming out of your suitcase. I'm like, because it was sticky from the passion fruit puree. So it wasn't just like, because it was the watery red food color and it wasn't the aerogel.
It was the perfect blood texture.
It was the perfect, like, I'm pretty sure, like, they should, screw using corn syrup, just mix passion fruit puree with red food coloring and make fake blood. It tastes way better. But yeah, so that was funny. Of me trying to explain to them what it was. Meanwhile, like, my luggage is bleeding all over the National International Airport. There's a big red stain on the carpet. It's still there. over by the Delta luggage department, there's a red stain on the floor. Me! I did it! It was me!
Oh my God, it's a site for pilgrimage now.
Yeah, go find Casey's red food coloring. Because I was like, good luck getting that carpet. I'm sorry.
Oh,
if anyone does find it, send Instagram that to us.
I should have taken a picture of, and like posted it on Instagram being like, this is why you'd never travel with red food coloring or passion fruit puree. But it was 2 a.m. and I was so tired and I just wanted to go home. My poor father was waiting outside to pick me up. Like, he was in the cell phone lot at 2 a.m. and, you know, my dad's in his 70s, so I was like, I'm sorry. I'll never do it again.
I think a great solution would be for traveling with any colored liquids, those wine bags they sell for traveling with wine in your suitcase. So most liquor stores sell those. That would be a good trick for anyone who needs to travel with liquids.
Yeah, except I already frozen my liquids. I'll try that next time. There won't be a next time.
If only...
Never again, because I have to throw that suitcase away. I throw suitcases away all the time.
If only we knew a company that catered to the needs of cake decorators who have problems like these.
One of them does. Yeah. I have a...
There's a big shoes in...
Yeah, I bought some... I finally broke down after years of, like, paying, like, $100 for a suitcase and having to replace them every, like, 12 to 13 months. I finally broke down and bought, like, some really nice suitcases, hard side, from Briggs & Riley. Briggs & Riley has a lifetime guarantee even against airline damage. I just shipped my suitcases to them, and they're, like, basically replacing the... my shell is cracked and, like, the locks are broken. They're replacing all of it for free. It just costs me shipping.
Oh, there you go.
So, yeah, they do exist. That's half the reason I bought them, but I love Briggs & Riley.
I was in Italy last summer walking down the street and passed this luggage shop, and they had this really beautiful artist case in the window. And so it's sort of like, you know, the old-fashioned traveling trunks where you have a compartment for all of your pieces. This was for art tools, and I thought that would be perfect for cake decorators.
Well, I used to have one of those when I was a makeup artist. Mm-hmm. That was a really nice travel case.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I took it with me to Italy, to London, to Paris. Like, it was... It held up and didn't, yeah. So they exist. I'm just too lazy to get one now.
Yeah, no, I was mostly just teasing that I want you guys to make it.
I know, that's what I was, yeah. I was trying to get Casey in on the joke. Oh, I wasn't catching. If only there were a company that made
If only there was a company that could make these for us.
Yes.
Yeah. What would this company be called?
I'm also, like, really slow and kind of dense. Well, I think Casey's constantly jet lagged.
I don't know. I've been home for a while. Like, I haven't
trying to help you with an excuse. You
no, there's no excuse. There is no excuse for me.
Okay, whatever you're doing right now, whether it's actually working on a project, or if you're washing up, or you're stuck in traffic, whatever you've got going on, take a deep breath. Everything's going to be okay. Because you're awesome.
Anyway, we should get back to the awesome stuff that you make. You also make a turntable extender and a turntable.
And a turntable, yeah.
We have our turntable that we released this past year, and
that I love.
It's a nice combination because it's metal working plate and ball bearing and everything, but then the base is a really durable plastic. So it has a nice weight to it.
It's not heavy, and it's one piece. So if anybody ever has like the two piece, which I've done it, I've broken my foot with one of those two piece turntables before because I pick it up thinking it's a one piece and I pull the like really heavy cast iron bit off the table and it lands on my foot.
Oh my God.
Or you lift it up thinking you're just going to move it with your cake on it and then you spend like the next minute trying to find the hole to stick the
I
dowel.
Can't find the hole!
And then you need to call your, hopefully, bakery friend over to help
you.
Yeah.
So, and it's got a break in it because one of the things that we both were annoyed with because I don't know if everybody knows this, but Megan used to work for me and now I work for her. It's a fun symbiotic relationship, but we would be doing all this crazy piping stuff and your cake might spin while you're trying to like sit still and like pipe or paint something. So we put the brake in so that you can halt the cake's position and like not have to worry about spinning. So if you're doing bridge work, extension work,
even when we were doing stencils or arranging,
stencils,
you know, if you're arranging sugar flowers on a cake and you want to see it from all angles, it's nice to be able to turn it. But you know, I mean, we were jimmy rigging up brakes with quart containers and wet towels.
Oh,
and
God, yeah.
If your table was on an uneven surface, you know, the cake would like spin to the lowest point.
I used to have a ribbon with a really long needle that I had attached to my desk so that I could sit there because we use foam core for all of our cake bases, and I would get the cake where I wanted. I would stick this needle all the way in the cake board, the base, so it wouldn't spin on me. That didn't work out so well a few times.
My cheap homemade version of a turntable is that IKEA wooden Lazy Susan. So it's not a quality turntable, right? It's because it's not made for that. So it's fine for like a small 8-inch cake. I would not want to put anything big or heavy on it because it does wobble side to side. But when I need to sort of stop turning, I basically reach for whatever tube of color is close and jam it in there. But then it's sitting on a slight angle, so now it's not level anymore. It does the job for my not getting paid level cake work. But yeah, if I start getting paid, I would want a proper one. And when I saw you release that video of the on and off break, I was like, ooh, look at that. That's awesome.
Of me being a nerd, like half of this is like Casey's a huge goober. And I'm like, it's beans. It does not spin. It's beans. but also, and it fits with the turntable expander, which we came out with first, which actually wouldn't have even existed if it weren't for Megan, because there's certain products that we offer that, like, it was a lot of, you know, either coming in the shop and seeing me working with something or Megan remembering something when she was in my bakery of, you know, we should make this. And one of the things that we got into a fight about was the turntable expander, because I used to buy round acrylic pieces and you just stick them on top of a turntable with a nonstick mat and call it a day. Except that you can't get them centered and they move as you're working sometimes and all that stuff. But I was like, no one's going to buy these because you can buy acrylic rounds. And Meg's like, yes, they will. And I'm like, no, they won't. And they're one of our best sellers.
Well, and again, it's sort of, you know, taking the time to go and source your acrylic and then you end up paying pretty much the same price.
Oh, more. The rounds are more than the turntable expander sometimes for the big ones.
And so, you know, I mean, I think at some points we didn't even have large enough acrylic boards. So I was turning 16-inch cake pans upside down trying to use that because, you know, I use a bench scraper to get a nice 90-degree angle when we're cold carving or icing the cakes. And so, you know, but it wouldn't stay centered. I'd end up with an oval. I thought I had like found a loophole to get this done quickly, but really it was, you know.
Well, and then we had one time, I think we were doing like an 18-inch round bottom and we had it on, I think I'd located like a 22-inch acrylic disc, which cost me like $100. But the thing you don't think about with acrylic like that is that it's very rigid plastic. And so it will snap. Mm-hmm. If you hit it with just the right, it'll crack in half. And we had this giant cake that it took two of us to carry and the acrylic piece broke while we were carrying it, like luckily, like saved the cake, but we totally, I think I had buttercream all over my
boys. Actually, I'm recalling a time when Casey came back from Tap Plastics with, you know, stacks of acrylic rounds and then,
dropped them.
No,
that was
not
the day they dropped
them. This was more of in use and washing them, getting like 1,000 little paper cut
Oh, those things.
Because you need to take a blowtorch to it and soften the edges.
Yes.
So after they're cut, it's like razor blades.
They're super sharp.
And, you know, we were working, you know, half the day not really realizing how cut up we were.
Slicing our hands.
Yeah. So.
Well, and then, like, and that was the other thing with the turntable expander, because it's designed that two people can hold it. It's got little handholds, and it's that we've reinforced the TP. Are they it's TPE plastic is what they're made out of? Or,
no.
That's the sugar shapers. Mm-hmm. I get confused. This is why they don't let me talk.
it's the same the plastic that we use for the expanders as well as the base of the turntable are. It's the same plastic that old like phone receivers were made out of. So you can imagine how many times that's been you've dropped your phone, thrown it around. It's extremely durable plastic.
Yeah. And they carry a lot of weight. Like the turntable, I think, remember when we first got the prototype, Megan stood on the turntable and like spun, like did the like little spinning actions and it was fine. I couldn't do it because I'm like, I was very large back then. And so, yeah, we established the weight limits like 140.
Yeah. I'm about 5'10". I'm not a small woman. I'm a small man.
I'm also like 5'11", but I'm significantly larger than Megan.
You're
not
both...
anymore because I got a parasite and I lost a bunch of weight. Gregory diet.
You're both taller than me. That's all I know.
But like, it was just the joke when I had the people's cake. All of us were 5'9 or taller. And we had one short intern. We're like, you need to get a stool because all the tables were made for, are set for tall people. And, you know, yeah, we're mean. But yeah, and then what else? We've got the, like, the sugar smoothers were another thing that Megan was like, no, Casey. Because I was like, just buy acrylic. And she's like, no, and now I can't live without them. They're my favorite thing. Like, I love those sugar smoothers.
I mean, I think, yeah, just like all of our products have come from practical places out of necessity. So I, since starting Innovative Sugar Works, I haven't been actively working in the kitchen for the past 5 years. You know, so it's good to go in there every now and then and watch Casey work. And I just kind of take some notes and see what odd things she's rigged up to get the job done. And then I'm like, well, okay.
There's some very inventive things.
Other people are probably needing something. So we're all about solutions.
We've got one right now because she sees, like, I'm making the past, even though I don't make wedding cakes full time anymore, I teach mostly. But I still make the odd wedding cake, and usually when I do, like, they have a ton of sugar flowers, and, like, they're really intense, and I've got this lovely rose petal-shaped indentation on my hand right now that won't go away because I think I cut, like, 500 rose petals yesterday, and it hurts. I've got, like, a blister on my hand. It's in the shape of a teardrop.
Mm.
And so we're now working. I was like, can we develop a product that stops this from happening?
Even, I mean, I think, like, a little glove or mitt like, with, like, a silicone
a glove with, like, a gel insole to, like, cushion your hands. Because my original idea of, like, having a like, pasta machine that would put the vein, like, so you don't have to roll out on a spell board anymore, that turned out to be a very expensive project that we had to shelf.
Yeah, we're always coming up with little ideas. It's just...
We have enough ideas where if we had, like, unlimited dollars...
Or time. It surprisingly takes quite a bit of time to make an original product from, you know, conception through the design phases, prototyping, going into manufacturing.
Hiccups if something goes wrong with manufacturing.
It, on average, takes 18 months. 18 months, I would say, to launch a new product. And so,
We were in labor with that armature for about 18 months, and then... It's finally ready.
Yeah.
I can hold it and touch it and see it.
Another product we're about to release is, we have cake transporter. We call it the cake porter. And it's basically corrugated plastic.
Insulated box.
In a box that comes with an insulated cover. But we have now added interior boxes. So if someone doesn't want to travel with an assembled cake, or if they're doing a dessert bar or have... cupcakes, or we're even going to suggest using them for dry storage if you need to save your sugar flowers or
to keep dust off them and light away. They're not light tight, but they're light safe.
Well, I would say if you put them inside with insulated cover, that would completely
Black out. With the cover, it is blackout. It is light tight. But yeah, it's just like, because I know I make my sugar flowers weeks in advance, and you don't want to just leave them out because they do get dust on them. And mm-hmm. so I've got stacks and stacks of little tiny containers to keep them in, and these are going to work so much better. you can't have them. They're all mine. I'm first on the list to get them. Mine.
Yeah, we have a few videos we're going to shoot in the next week. And
oh, and we got the flower cutters too.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a very, we'll send one to you, Kim. You don't like to make sugar flowers as much as I do, but there's one, it's a one piece sweet pea cutter.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, so we've got that. And these are all ones that I designed for me. The one thing that's kind of universal with sugar flowers is it's hard to make them quickly and to make them profitable. So when I design them, like, they're trying to make it easier. Like, I remember I made a peony set, and it was based on the fact that I had bought 7 different peony sets, and I was using one cutter from each of these sets. And when I started to teach sugar flowers and I wanted to teach peonies, I realized, wow, I'm going to have to spend like $800 to make the cutters work, and I'm just going to make my own set. So yeah, it's a lot of stuff of like, and the dahlia was me. I hate making sugar dahlias, except now that I love them. So yeah, they're all like, my little favorite ones. There's 5 of them. We got the peony, dahlia, lisianthus, which is my favorite filler flower. I love, because you make the little like kind of stemmy bud and you put on the flower and they look really cool. And then sweet peas and macara orchids, which are my favorite filler orchid. They're like the little tiny dudes. So yeah, we got stuffs in the works.
So those are all coming out what, like this autumn or?
No, so the flower cutter should be out in a week or two. Okay. And we're going to film a little tutorial video for each flower
how to
make them. So we'll be getting the cutters into our warehouse soon, and then filming and loading the video. So I would say that's about 2 weeks out, and then the interior boxes are probably a month. And then we have the Molly Moo cow tutorial.
Oh yeah. I filmed another tutorial.
And it's a full length how to, you know, assemble the structure, carve the cake, ganache, fondant, you know, using shapers,
modeling chocolate. It's very similar. It's like a different craftsy project. It's a craftsy style class done with like that type of video quality and all that stuff. So we're really excited, and we hope, like, if it does well, we'll make more.
And a little sneak tip, when we launch the video, we're going to do a special. So if the four-legged standing sugar structure is used in the video, so we'll do a special launch promotion. So if you purchase them together, you'll save a little bit of money.
You get some money off. Everybody likes to save money.
Well, so this episode, I mean, we're recording this fairly early because, like I said, I've got an episode coming out tomorrow, and I do them every other week. So this will actually come out in 2 Thursdays.
Oh, great. Yeah. So everything will be available by then.
So, yeah, make sure I have the links so I can post the links in the show notes, and then it can direct people right to it. You know, all 125 listeners I've got, so, you know.
I just want your opinion when you see the video, because the sweet pea, making the sweet pea, in addition to the cutter being just kind of like a little bit risque. That's a nice word. It's a naughty looking cutter. But it also comes with a fun story of like how to make it. Because since it's a one piece sweet pea, you make the center. You make the center and all the petals all at once. I can make like 100 sweet peas in an hour. It's great. But it comes with this funny story about murdering your husband. Because he goes to bed without doing the dishes, and then like he takes a shower, and then you smother him and bury him in the backyard. Like, it's a very funny story that I tell to help people remember how to make them. It's something I came up with that I remember Rump in Israel heard it, and he's like, Casey, sometimes I wonder about you.
But I don't think Rump's the only person saying that.
I mean, I think a lot of people say that, but it was just adorable because like Ron said it. I was like, I love you, Ron.
But I think we're all on the same page that you have to be a little bit crazy.
Everyone in the cake industry is just a little bit off. We're all slightly bent, is what I say.
Well, I think that goes with that word, innovator. If you're coming up with new stuff, it by definition means you're not normal. Because normal keeps going the way it is.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So, hey, we've come up with an excuse of what's wrong with us.
We're owning it. We've grown into it.
We're innovators. We're not weird. We're innovators.
We're weird children who grew into innovative adults.
Oh yeah, I was such a weird child. My poor parents.
Kim, it's Mitchie from Las Vegas, Nevada. Thank you for letting me give you a call to brag about my favorite peeps, Innovative Sugar Works. Love them. Ever since I saw Casey Lackey teasing about something that was about to pop off a couple of years ago, I got really excited. I wanted to see what these sugar shapers were all about. And now I have every single set. I've got the turntable extender, the turntable, and now the brushes. Can you tell I'm a huge fan? Anytime that they have something new coming out, I have to see what it is. And Casey is such a huge inspiration. Love Megan and Chris.
I suck at social media. I feel so bad. Like, I should post more. But I just, I'm lazy. So when it comes to, like, telling people about, like, me and, like, what we're doing. I don't want to.
I think more than being lazy, it's very difficult to, if you're working on a project and you're focused on it, especially if you're under a time crunch like most people are to get a cake out the door, to stop and photograph your work is time consuming. And then, you know, you need to go wash your hands after you touched your phone.
You touched your phone and then, like, the lighting's bad and then, like, nobody cares. And like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's, if everybody's like, Casey's not very active on social media, it's because I hate it. I don't have a Twitter account. I flat out refuse to get one. That's the one thing that, like, Jen and Megan and Chris will harass me about. They're like, you need to be more present on social media. I'm like, I don't wanna.
I don't
want to
harass you about
you
that.
You don't do it. Jen does. Chris does
Jen,
sometimes.
Yeah.
Jen is the third awesome female of Innovative Sugar Works. She's the one, I think sometimes her job title should be cat herder.
Yeah.
Because she, I think she put a chip in my neck when I wasn't looking, and she knows where I am at any given moment. Like, so she can always find me. It's weird. I don't know how she developed this talent, but she knows how to get a hold of me and how to get the answer in my emails.
Yeah, she's a very valuable asset to our little company.
She's the one answering me on Facebook Messenger.
Oh, yeah. If it were up to me and Casey to take care of the social media,
there would be none.
There would, well, and we would have like a backlog of hundreds of messages. And
no, Jen would also post very inappropriate things.
Yeah, I think when, you know, that Cake by the Ocean song came out last summer, I really wanted to, like, post it on social media, and I was in control of our social media at that point, and Chris was just like, are you crazy? And he's like, you're not allowed to do this.
Or like me, who, like, you see the, I don't know if you have these in the UK, but the, like, the shower cakes that are, like, the woman giving birth and, like, the baby's crowning the face is coming out of her hoo-ha. Yeah. And it's got, like, raspberry jam and strawberry blit everywhere.
Yeah,
I, like, post
and chocolate
every
sprinkles.
Week, just, like, first thing in the morning. So that, like, the first thing you see when you're on Facebook is, like, bloody and that's not allowed. This is why they don't let me on social media.
Yeah,
no, I knew that you weren't using social media at the point where it kind of told me to ask you something or some, because she's like, well, you're friends with Casey, just go ask her on Facebook. And I went and looked, and I was like, oh, I friended Casey, like, right after the Austin show.
Okay, so here's
and there's,
the
like, a year
that,
later.
That's not my fault. Facebook only lets you have 5,000 friends. And somewhere along the lines, I have 5,000 friends and also, like, a 700-person wait list. And I stopped using that account a lot because of that reason.
Yeah.
So I use the fan page. And I feel like I feel like a when I say that. I have a fan page. Like, that's how you get in touch with me, is on the fan page.
Yeah.
I hate saying that. I feel like such a pretentious. So I actually have, like, 5 Facebook pages, so.
Yeah, I just email
there's
you.
There's so many.
I just email
you. And yes, on my personal Facebook page, I will say no. If I don't personally know you and want to know what you're up to, like, I'll say no. Because then my feed gets inundated. Like, right now, it's like, I swear to God, I go through my Facebook feed, my personal one, and it's like politics and cake. My life and funny animal videos.
In a nutshell,
it's like stupid cat videos, politics, and cake. When my feed gets clogged with cake, I'll actually go through and unfollow cake people. I'll be like, I love you, but I don't want to know about your cakes.
That's just on your personal.
That's on my personal one. No, like
let's clarify.
But yeah, no, I also don't.
Sometimes we do need to escape the cake world.
Yes, and my Facebook thing is one of those. But it's also, I get in these like artistic spirals where I just don't feel creative, and if there's a bunch of people's cakes, I will be like, oh yeah, I'll just make that, but different. And I still like to try and have original thoughts every once in a while. I want to be original. I really do.
It's a hard thing sometimes. Yeah, if I know I'm gonna try something original, I'm almost afraid to Google it because I'm afraid other people's ideas will percolate and I'll accidentally copy. So
yeah.
I get through it and I make myself Google it anyway so I can be assured that I'm not copying something I didn't even see. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, there was one of mine that was a perfect example of, I was in Greece teaching and she had made this adorable little alien. Didn't even think about it twice, but then I made an adorable little alien that looked so much like hers. I mean, it was different, but I was like, and then I was just back at her shop teaching and I saw him when I walked in. I was like, that's where he came from. It's you. Cause I know I'm not that creative. And yeah, like, I apologize. I'm like, I'm sorry, I ripped off your alien. Like, because I wanted to do a Minion, and I'm afraid of Disney, so I won't actually make Minions or any Disney characters, because they're scary. And yeah, so I'm trying to do a Minion-style cake or something you could turn into a Minion. But yeah, that's where I got it from, and I was like, wow, it's amazing how, like, that's another thing. I get really mad when people are like, you copied me, or like, he copied. I'm like, everybody's copying everybody. There are no... You're one of the few innovative people, Kim. Like, you come up with some crazy, like, I'm going to make flexible chocolate. How did you even do that? What?
You know the backstory of how that happened, right?
Yes, you told me that in Austin, and I was like, you gotta, like...
Because I made a mistake.
Mike, challenge accepted.
No. Mike challenged me to do modeling chocolate, because I'd done fondant in sort of like the polymer clay caning style. And yeah. Then he challenged me to do the modeling chocolate. No. The flexible chocolate came from, I was making, because I was doing all that gummy stuff, remember? And I had the opaque gummy uses sweetened condensed milk and gelatin. And that's why it actually makes a decent candy, because it's basically just like a mildly sweet candy. And then and the regular gummy is your Jell-O plus extra gelatin, and I can't get Jell-O here, so that's a whole different thing. And then there's the clear stuff is kind of like making...
Wait. There's no Jell-O in England?
Okay, no, so not Jell-O brand. There is this Hartley stuff, and it's so gross. My child who licks snails will not eat this Hartley's jelly. It tastes...
So do you want me to bring you Jell-O when I come there in November?
I actually have a stash of old stuff that I might be about to use up for my NEC piece, not that I'm revealing what I'm doing at all.
Wait. I've just established our Underground Railroad, and then I'll let you get back to your story. I'm sorry I interrupted. I'll bring you Jell-O if you get me Cadbury.
Sure. I mean, I bring caseloads of dairy milk to Kyla at the Austin show every year.
What?
Yeah.
I want in on that deal.
That's how
I go to Australia, I load up on Tim Tams, I come to England, I load up on Cadbury. I haven't been to England in years, and I'm out. And it's depressing because American Cadbury tastes like Hershey's. It's gross.
Yeah, no, so come with me to Costco. You can buy dairy milks by the case. And Kinder Eggs.
Oh, and penguins!
Penguins?
The wafer cookies.
Oh, I don't know what that is, then.
The individually wrapped penguin cookies. Penguin cookies, come on, Kim.
Apparently I'm failing my children on this because I don't know what that is.
Penguin! Back to your story. It's Jell-O and extra gelatin.
Right, that's that one. Right, but and so the what I call the opaque is the sweetened condensed milk, and that's the important part. It's the sweetened condensed milk because what it is not is evaporated milk. And there was a day that I was making stuff probably for the Austin show, because that at that point that's what everything was going towards. It was a Baker Wish or Austin show, and so I was making some kind of fleshy something. Because that's what the opaque stuff is good for, is disturbingly flesh-like. And it is. It makes, like, you put some green in it, and you got some zombie flesh. And you were talking about blood earlier. I've got a blood recipe that tastes like chocolate, because it's made with Hershey Special Dark Syrup. It's really good. I can't get that here. I can only get the nasty Hershey stuff. But anyway, so I was going to make a pot of the opaque gummy, but I had like 10 minutes until I had to go get Peo from school. And this is again in Austin, where it was like an hour drive which should have been 20 minutes because of stupid traffic. And so I was like, huh, I gotta do this. And I'm just reaching the cupboard and I opened the can, I poured it in. That's evaporated milk. That was not. And so I was like, you know, I used the rude words. But I just put the pot to the side. I'd already melted the 5 packs of the gelatin and, you know, put the milk in. And I was like, okay, well, I've apparently made gelatin gross soup, whatever. I put it on the back of the stove, got in the car, went and got Peo. The whole time I'm like, what am I going to do with this? I don't like wasting it. It's one thing when you are experimenting and you know this is going to go wrong and not get eaten, or you're using it as an artistic medium. I don't consider that waste because, frankly, we ate too much sugar anyway, right? So it's not waste if you peel off the fondant because nobody should eat that much fondant. It's been used for a legit purpose, but I'm doing an experiment that a stupid mistake feels like waste. So it was sitting there, I got Peo home, and I'm looking at it, I'm just thinking like, all right, let me go Google what uses gelatin and evaporated milk. Well, you can make a French silk pie, right?
Yeah.
But that's like with one envelope of gelatin, and I had 5. So I thought, whatever, okay, let's see if we can make something out of this anyway, and I dumped in a bag of chocolate chips, you know, whatever the Nestle chocolate chips are. And I put it in a pie shell. So after dinner, we're eating this, and Corin and Peo, because it's before we had Robin, they're sort of like bouncing their forks off of this, and they're eating it, and it's going, well, it tastes good, but it's a little bit chewy. And then Corin says, I think you just invented chocolate gummy. And I was like, ooh. And so I started experimenting with, well, what's the good ratio? Because, you know, if it, you know, with white chocolate, things are stickier than with dark chocolate. And so I had all these notes and I've been playing with the things and what sticks to the mold, what comes out of the mold. And then the adoption agency called and said, go get your baby. And everything stopped. It's like this amazing point in my life where you could see, like, you know, for my fiction novels, I used to track how many I sold every week. And I would do all the, how many on Amazon and how many on Smashwords. And I had all this set up. And it literally stops on, like, 2 days before Robin was born. And it's never been updated since. So, yeah, I waited a couple years. And I thought, well, surely I've blogged about this. Someone else is going to take it and run with it. But then nobody had. And so I thought, well, Austin's got that innovator award and I'd like to win that again. So, by that point, Robin was in part-time school. So yeah, I tried, I fiddled around with it and brought my science project to the Austin show and won a medal and an award.
'Cause you're awesome and clever and we thank you.
Oh, thank you. I'm also an idiot who grabbed the wrong can.
I think some of the best things I've ever come up with are because I'm an idiot.
Yeah,
and I do stupid stuff.
We're professional idiots.
Yep.
Well, except you get paid.
No, it's more like we're the ones that can recognize. You're like, that was really stupid. How could I turn this around and make it awesome?
Yes, you have your slew of all the rude words, and then you buckle down and do something with it.
Well, you know, I had a fail the other day where I thought, I recently was diagnosed with a dairy allergy, so that's really disappointing since I love heavy whipped cream and all things cheese, yes. Yeah. So anyway, I'm trying to like cope with it and find ways to still eat everything I love, which includes key lime pie. So I actually found condensed like sweetened coconut milk, and they say that it's supposed to work as sweetened condensed milk.
Right.
So I mixed that baby up, put it in the oven, and it came out like soup. And, you know, it was a fail. I should have just tossed it. But instead, for the next 2 days, I sat there spooning this key lime pie filling into my mouth like soup. But anyway.
What if you did, like agar-agar if it was set up or some clear gel?
Yeah, I think, you know, I should really look into, you know, I know Cake Masters magazine has a vegan section, and I bet there are some fillings.
My vegan gluten pie crust came about on the sheer accident of me trying it. I was like, okay, let's do this.
but, you know, anyway, it's good to have a fail every now and then. And yeah, fails, learn from it.
Oh, yeah.
Or just sit there and eat your fail, which is what I did.
Yeah, you know, we were talking earlier about buying cheap knockoff products. I made a stupid mistake because I thought, I mean, who doesn't want one of those Nordic Ware cast iron swirly pan bundt pans, right? But those are expensive. And so I saw like £2 on the cheap discount site was a silicone one. So I thought, I thought, well, if I get a silicone, then I can also use it as molds and stuff. Yeah, this thing is such a piece of junk. It's so thin. But I thought, okay, I'm going to try. I found a bundt cake recipe, and I put it in there. And, you know, it turns out there are actual thermal properties to proper metal pans versus silicone pans. And this bundt cake I cooked, it was like browning to the point of getting too dark on top. And I thought it was done, and it was liquid in the middle. So, that was a total fail. And again, I didn't want to be wasteful, but nor did I want to feed my family stuff that had like semi-cooked egg in it. So
yeah,
I dumped it.
I did that with chocolate cake. I wanted to do lava cake. Like, because I've got some silicone baking stuff that works because it fits in a metal thing. Like, but I left it at home, and it was for Valentine's Day last year. I was cooking for my roommate and her boyfriend. Yes, I'm sad. like, can I cook Valentine's dinner for you guys so I don't have
to
be alone?
Doesn't everyone want Casey to be their roommate?
I'm an awesome roommate. She gets gourmet food all the time. But I was trying to make, like, molten chocolate cake and had to do it in these, like, silicone half rounds, and then I couldn't get it out. And I was just then in a really bad mood because I was like, it was perfect. Won't come out. Meh. Silicone stuff.
Products that offend me are ones that you can, if you know anything about math or physics, you look right at and you go, that's a problem. And for years now, you see kitchen catalogs and stuff, and they have soft silicone measuring cups. And I'm like, that's not accurate.
Yeah, how did you not know that these are a bad idea?
That's not how you do volume, people. That's
okay,
not.
Casey's getting on her soapbox. Measure everything by weight, for the love of Christ. Like, come on. Like, cups and stuff are stupid. Like, just do it in grams. Buy a scale, save yourself some time, save yourself some dishes, and just do everything by grams, please.
Well,
please.
Here that's how people
do it.
Because,
like, we did this test in our bakery once where we each weighed out a cup of flour, and they all, like, there was, like, a 50-gram discrepancy.
It's like, did you sift it?
Did you pack it? Is it cake flour? Like, Grams, people, grams.
Yep.
Yeah, it's really, once you get used to it, it's really hard to go back to cups and tablespoons. And, you know, for anyone who does large volume, if you need to multiply your recipe out.
Oh, my God, it's so much easier to do it in grams.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. UK recipes are all that way.
Off of my soapbox.
No, she literally, like, sat up straight in her chair to have that speech.
Well, mostly because we've been having that with the tutorial, too, because I include recipes for my chocolate stout cake and my vanilla bean cake, and they're all in grams, and poor Jed is like, I need to convert these to cups. I'm like, no! No cups! No cups ever!
No cups for you.
No cups for you. And, like, I'm like, no! Grams! Do it in grams!
Casey's the temperamental creative.
I really am.
She's the cat we all have to herd. I would say she's the most high maintenance than me.
I really am more high maintenance.
No, actually, Casey, then Chris, then me, and then Jen.
Yeah. I'm not high maintenance. I just get on my, like,
you know, it's for people who don't know, you know, I mean, Innovative Sugar Works is a small little team of people.
There's four of us.
There are four.
Well, and Margarita.
Oh, and Margarita.
Four and a half. She's in Europe.
Yeah. But actively on the ground here in Seattle, running the day-to-day, there are four of us. So it gets to be pretty funny, relationship dynamics.
Yeah, and I definitely am the most fussy about stuff like the grams. I mean, she's like, no, we have to convert the stuff. She's like, no, make them do grams. People ask questions.
Someone asks a question, and we're like, okay, we'll just do whatever. And she's like, I don't want it. They can go figure it out. And it's like, no, actually,
yeah,
you can't tell them.
I get, like, as much as I'm, like, a teacher, I get very, like, meh about stuff sometimes.
She's like a surly teenager who's got some angst going on, and we've got to, like, you know, plow her with some champagne and
make
her smile.
I don't want it, Mom. Mom, I don't want to do this. This is dumb.
No, come live here, Casey, because everyone here cooks by grams, to the point that people here I've met, like, you know, people our age, like, I'm not even talking about, like, little kids or something. They, when you talk about cups, they're like, well, but what kind of cup do you mean? And I'm like, well, a cup is actually a standardized a volume amount. And they're like, well, so can I use this cup? And they'll pull out a teacup, and I'm like, no, it is a standardized thing. And there are people here who don't actually understand, don't even know that. It's so rare. I bought, one of my good friends was complaining. She's like, I don't cook very much, and I keep finding these American recipes, and they talk about cups. I bought her a set of cups so she would have one. And I bought rainbow because it was just pretty. But, like,
rainbows are pretty.
Here people, they all have a kettle and they all have a scale.
That's the rest of the world. It's just America that does this ridiculousness.
It's the best measuring. Yeah. I just grabbed something from my kitchen, the best measuring cup. This one is by, is it OXO or OXO?
OXO.
But it's the kind of like spinning adjustable one.
And you just need one.
And you can do dry or solids. And it's also great if you have to measure out something like a butter or a lard or whatever, because it has.
But then you can just do it in grams.
Silicone just scrapes it out.
But then you could just do it in grams and dump it in a bowl.
For people, for people who still love their cups, or people in Europe who want to give it a try because they're curious what it's all about.
They're cup curious.
Here's me being a surly teenager. I'm just like,
no,
it's the same thing. I'm like, why aren't we on the metric system?
No,
you don't have a metric system like the rest of the world yet. Like,
I mean, I love grams. I cook in grams all of the time, but occasionally when you run across a recipe and you don't want to spend the time to convert it and just be lazy,
it is true. Like, and I realize this, but that's, I've already converted it to grams for you. Just go buy a scale and come to the dark side. But I do, like, I still have a couple of my recipes are in cups and grams. And if I looked really hard, I think I could find everything, because I started in cups.
Luckily, everything when I went to work for Casey was in cups. And I came from...
It was really only once Jamie, like, you and Beth and Jamie,
came in there. I was like, what is going on in here?
You're like, Megan's the one that got me on grams, and now she's trying to get me back to cups.
No, I'm just saying everyone should have a cup in their kitchen. I love grams, like I said, but, it's a great thing that the cost of a digital scale has come down significantly.
Yes. Yeah.
When I was in school, you know, like 9 years ago, 10 years ago, whatever, a good scale would cost you $50. Now you can go out and spend 15 or 20.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or five.
Yeah.
I got my little $5 one.
I mean, Alton Brown was the reason we got a scale. We were watching Good Eats back in the day because he put out his first book and he's like, my editors are making me tell you stuff in cups, but don't use cups. Here's the real measurements in grams. And so we bought a scale. And once you figure out the joy of having the bowl on there, dumping something in, tear, dumping the next thing in, tear. It's like, why would I go back to having to wash more things?
Wonderful.
Yeah, it really saves on dishes
and
less time. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and plus, because my bowl can go in the dishwasher, but most of your cup measurements, if they're plastic ones, can't. It depends on
top rack safe.
It depends.
I'm also like this.
But even then,
like,
if they're the ones with the printed.
The only thing I won't put in the dishwasher are my knives, because I've got really nice Worcesters that I won't, like, that. When I got them, I was like, roommate, if you use a knife, you hand wash the knife. If I see the knife in the dishwasher, I will kill you.
I will stab you with stem knife.
But then she laughs at me because I put all my stemware in the dishwasher. And she's like, stemware is fragile. You should hand wash those. I'm like, I'm not going to hand wash my wine glasses. Do you know how much wine I drink?
I
know. How long it would take to wash the glasses? So yeah, it's just the knives. Everything else goes in the dishwasher, whether the dishwasher's safe or not.
Those of you who are actually working on a project right now, you're deep into it, you're working really hard, I want you to pause for a second. I want you to sit back, close your eyes, take a deep breath. No, come on, do this with me now. Sit back, close your eyes, deep breath. Working really hard. Stuff may not always be going well. Maybe stuff is going great. Whatever's happening, I want you now to slowly open your eyes and look at what you've made. Okay, maybe it's still got some problems. Maybe you're not done. Look at what you've made. you're so good at this. You are going to rock this cake. You are so amazing, and I have faith that you're going to get this done and everyone's going to love it.
A little inside note about our meetings weekly. We have something called Wine Wine Wednesday, where we get together and we work through, because we all kind of work independently throughout the week, but once a week we get together for a meeting and in the evening, and we pour some nice wine and wine about work and and work on work.
It's a meeting where we complain about everything, which is the wine part. We drink wine, which is usually sparkling wine, because you can't be too upset when you're having sparkling wine. Yeah. And then and it's always on Wednesday. And it is. So,
I'm pretty sure that's the sound of 1,000 resumes coming your way now that you've said that.
Well, you know, it really helps keep things moving if you've got a little liquid.
If you go on the Instagram account, you'll see a lot of these like behind the scenes things where I'm like, I usually have a champagne flute in my hand. Casey's drunk.
I would say not drunk, just having a good buzz and a happy place.
I want to do a road trip with you, but maybe as the teetotaler, I should be offering to drive.
Yes. We're always in need of designated.
I feel like you should be our permanent travel companion now that you've just leaked that bit of information.
Yeah, okay.
Now we're gonna headhunt you.
All right, that's good.
Usually Wine Wine Wednesday starts at 6.
Yeah.
Like the Wednesday meeting always starts at 6 p.m. So we've all finished work for the day and we're just getting together and having a meeting of the minds, because usually we're all like emailing, and like sometimes I especially get overwhelmed when I get like 500 emails and I can't trace them. I'm just like, can we just talk about this on Wednesday?
Yeah, it gets to be a lot of moving parts. And we didn't, Casey and I chose, you know, jobs that involved being in a kitchen or moving around, because we really hate being tied to the computer.
Yeah, as much as I love my computer, I like to check Facebook. I don't like to check my email all the time. Or keep track of, like, when you're, I mean, sometimes we've had emails that are, like, 100 thread emails that I'm just like, okay, I forgot what we were talking about, like, 30 threads ago and how you guys are keeping this organized. And it's Jen and Chris that keep it more, and Megan, I tap out first, then Megan taps out. We're like, can we just talk about this on Wednesday?
And then
while we're having champagne?
Yeah. Interpersonal, it's a whole different dynamic than talking. And this is when people get all agitated that, oh, screens and the internet will replace interpersonal, I'm like, have you met people? Because that's not how we all work.
Yeah. I mean, and especially if you're in a creative industry, it's like, I like to show and feel and, you know, and actually test things. You know, we can't do that over an email or even the phone. There's some things you just need to be.
See, I think they actually really miss me when I'm gone. Like when I'm off on a teaching trip, they're like, where is Casey? And her like, I don't want to work. Why don't we just talk in person? I'm the glue that holds the interpersonal relationships together. Except I'm totally not.
Jen is the glue.
I'm the helium balloon that they have to keep a string on.
Fire down. She's floating away.
That's your, we should make a cake of Casey, just the helium balloon with,
and Jen holding on to her.
Is Jen holding on to me, or is Jen the string?
Jen's on the ground holding the string, and you're floating away. And she's like, come back here.
I think the string is tied to her wrist because she's busy typing on all your social media for you.
Yeah. Jen could totally Jen's just such a nice person that she would never do anything mean. She's just super cool.
Yeah. Emailing us or messaging us, Jen's the lady you're speaking with, and she's got it all under control.
Yeah. She knows how to find us if she needs.
I get emails that are just, I'm resending this to you to move it to the top of your email list, because I'm sure you haven't read it yet. And I'm like, you know me so well.
It's like having our very own.
Thank you. It's like my having a mother.
But a mother that drinks with us.
Yeah.
Well, for this interview, because I've been saying since I did the podcast that, you know, hey guys, come on the show. And she keeps saying, yeah, I'm trying to herd them into the same room.
I know. It is literally herding cats. Yeah, a cat wrangler. We should find a coffee cup for her that says something like that.
Yes.
Make sure it's a kitty with like little ears on it.
A wine glass. A wine glass for her.
Oh, see, now you're on board.
Yeah.
You can be a part of the company now, Kim. You understand us.
What motivates us? It's booze. It's champagne.
It's
maybe we'll have craft night and buy some wine glasses and some pins, and we'll make her a full set of cat.
I'll come hang out for that craft night. Are you kidding? I just need the airfare. You know, that's all right.
Yeah, I've got so many frequent flyer miles.
I bet you do. Oh my god, you go everywhere. You guys are like that. That's why it's hard to pin you down. I mean, I just, you know, I loaded up your website right before I was speaking with you, and I saw your where you're gonna be page coming up of all the cake shows, and it's like, you guys cloned yet? Because how do you do all that?
Dude, I'm just like I said before, I'm just constantly jet lagged and tired. I think that's why I'm grumpy. It's not that I'm actually a grumpy person, I'm just tired. Because, yeah, I'm leaving for Australia in a few days to do there, and then I come back and I'm going to London, and then I'm going to Denver, and then I'm going to Canada, and then I'm going to Orlando, and then it's Christmas! Hooray! And possibly Orlando twice.
Yeah, I'm leaving in 2 weeks for a pastry conference. It's actually called Pastry Plus, and it's hosted by the International Culinary Center, which used to be FCI in New York. So it's a brand new conference, and it's for the industry people with really great presenters. Anyway, so I'm going to that. Then we have the cake show here in Seattle, and then Orlando,
the America's Cake Fair.
So the team's just scattered all the time. So it is hard. It's not that we're trying to be difficult. We just are.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, wait. Kim, Jen's here. Make Jen say hi. We've been talking nice things about you.
Hello, cat herder.
We really have. We've been like, we were saying that Jen's the cat herder. Everybody meet Jen. Jen's the one that you talk to when you go on Facebook and the internets. The lovely Jen will answer your questions, and then she'll find us. So yeah, the whole company's in one house for once. What is this?
It's the magic of podcasting.
The magic of podcasting.
The lucrative world of podcasting.
Super lucrative. I know you're making millions off this.
That's right.
Oh, we just got the fake sugar shapers here, and they're so sad. They are really bad. They're so bad.
You should do a post about break one and show why they're bad.
Oh, well, no, we don't even need to break them. Like, the tips aren't clean, so there's really thin silicone at the end of both tips that... From obviously, like, because they molded
there's
it, the molds aren't
there. Plastic just hanging off of them,
and they're crooked.
Lovely. If you post them before I put this up, I will link to that post. I mean,
God, they're so bad.
There's nothing wrong with you
they have seams all over them. They're so bad.
So post like some macro shots of the crappy seams, and do that. I mean, I think that's legitimate to do as your brand.
It's broken. Oh, it's already broken, and it's not even been used.
Yeah, so make a post about it. I will link to it in the show notes.
Because what are they going to do, sue us for libel? Be like, no, you stole our product and ripped it off badly.
They can't sue you for an honest review.
Yeah, we had them taken off of Amazon.
You got them off of Amazon?
Right.
We got them off of Amazon because they stole the photography from our website.
Again, that's what we're talking about at length. That it's one thing to find a deal. There are, you know, reasonable and fair deals. There are good shops that do discount things. There are, TJ Maxx and TK Maxx. It's the same store, and I can't remember which one is England and which one. But you know what I mean? That's an end-run store. You want a brand name for an end deal, you go to an end-run store, right? You're still getting the real product.
Yeah, because it's last season. Like,
that's right.
Who cares?
Yeah, that's right. So who cares if you want a Le Creuset pan and you don't want to spend the whole money, you go get an end-run or last year's fancy color or whatever. There's nothing wrong with getting a deal, but get a deal on something real.
That's why I have like 10 KitchenAid mixers, because I go and buy them when they do an end run, and you can get like one of mine is like stupid ugly olive green, but it cost me $50.
Oh, but anyway, yeah, so before we went way off into crazy land, we had been talking about your traveling and schedules.
So with me, my class schedule, I'm heading out to Australia pretty soon. It's my grand Australian tour. I'm going pretty much everywhere, finally, doing Melbourne, Brisbane, Perth, Sydney, and Canberra. And then I'll be going to Canada for classes, working on some for Orlando, not during the Saturday show, but during right before Christmas. And then maybe working on New York in January. I always have a couple irons in the fires, so I never know. Like, classes happen, and you have to just tune into the website.
Make sure, I mean, the website, all your stuff will be in the show notes, so we'll make sure that people know how to follow and obviously buy things.
Yes.
That would be...
Buy things!
Please buy things. Real proper tools, people.
Because if you buy things, we make more things.
Yeah.
If you want more cool products, buy the products we have, because then we have money to develop more cool products. Make more awesome videos and more tutorials and all the things.
If people had an idea, that, I mean, because you probably get a lot of dumb ideas thrown at you, but if people had what they, like, I really have this need, is that, like, do you take, should they just email you and say, I would really like it if you could make this, and if 10 people email you for the same thing, it makes it reality, or how does that work?
Yeah, a lot of times we've had people emailing us recently about things that we already have in the pipeline that we're working on, but like what we say to them is like, you know, this is something that we're in the design and prototype phase. Like, it will probably be available in 18 months because certain things like, I'll say, the self-heating bench scraper, which we came up with and we really wanted to do, but then became just like to actually get it on the market would have been prohibitively expensive to purchase, even though we think it's like a one-time thing that would be amazing. But I get people that email me being like, we should do a health self-heating bench scraper so you don't need hot water. We're like, yeah, we tried that.
we're always open to suggestions.
So yeah, why not?
We love hearing from people that get our products and like them and say like, but oh, I wish it did this.
Because yeah, we really, really try to meet the market demand for what people are wanting.
Right. And I guess the other question I had, purely for selfish reasons, because it's when we in the UK order US products, it's not just shipping, it's the fact that we get hit with a hefty customs charge. So do you have a UK distributor?
Jen, come in.
Jen, save us. You can currently buy some of our products, not our entire line, from Cake Decorating Company.
That's what I thought. I'd seen Sugar Shapers on Cake Decorating Company.
And they will shortly be carrying our sugar structures, probably in maybe a month or so. They should have them in stock. We also have a number of brick and mortar resellers. Those can be found on our Where to Find Us page on our website.
Well, I do hope that I'm going to get to see you guys at something sometime soon. I don't know when or where it will be.
There's a show for us. Oh, yeah. Somewhere a show for us.
Yeah. Or you guys can just come on this podcast anytime you want, because I know it's been like super easy for Jen to get you in the same room at the same time to do it.
Well, what I think is that we need to all come and camp out in your yard like we talked.
Totally, you can come do. There's literally a tent set up there right
Jen
now.
Jen loves England, and you would love Jen. I think we need to do a girls' Sugar Works trip over
to England.
To England to do a podcast in person.
A live podcast, yeah, because we all want to defect to England a little bit too. So
we want to run away.
Yep. Okay. Come on. Like, seriously, there is literally a tent set up in the backyard right now because Peo slept in it for most of last week until the rain got to her enough, and then she came inside. And then she says to us, oh, I had forgotten how much more comfortable real beds are. It's just, you know,
oh, child.
She's 11 and nothing hurts yet.
Yeah, I'm 36 and everything hurts.
Yeah. My bones are putting pressure on my underbody.
A few weeks ago, I just spent the day in bed, like, reading and doing nothing. Oh, my God. By the time my roommate got home and I went to cook dinner, my hips hurt so much. I was like, what is this?
I love getting older. It feels so
good. It's awesome. It feels so good. My knees, when I climb stairs, my knees sound like you're stringing a bow.
Oh, mine sound like wet plastic bags. Like, you know, if you took a plastic bag and you wet it and crushed it in your hands, that's what my knees sound like.
Yeah, mine make this like,
yikes.
It's awful.
We're all going to have arthritis from rolling so much fondant, too.
Oh, I already have it.
You owe me some champagne.
Seriously, my wrist was popping like crazy.
Oh, no. Like, I think I've avoided, because I'm not doing as many cakes as I used to, and I got a sheet, or like, I've managed to put off having wrist surgery.
When I was at school, there were several chefs who basically had to go into teaching because their bodies were broken.
Yep. That's why I went into teaching.
That's why I went into tool manufacturing.
That's why I went into podcasting. The lucrative
yeah,
for the podcast.
We're all so broken.
Busted. We can just call it busted.
Busted Sugar Company. What happens to when decorators get old?
Where you go to?
We'll get Kyla in on this because I know Kyla says that she's like, I've got like arthritis from all this stuff.
No, Kyla's in on everything I do. That's just a given. Kyla, because I am her minion, so you know.
Now we have future plans.
Yeah, there you go. We were just saying in what will have been the future episode, because I'm editing the episode for tomorrow that's coming out with Kyla and Susie. Well, there's the whole thing with, wait, if Kyla's now on the board of ISIS and I am Kyla's minion, did I just get drafted to ISIS? I did!
Dude, she's going to make ISIS better again.
They are. Oh my God. But I really should probably let you guys go because it is 5 minutes to midnight and I'm going to turn into a pumpkin.
Okay. It was fun talking to you.
It was so much fun, yeah, and I'd love to do this again the next time that you are all herded into the same room.
Okay, we can make that happen more frequently. Maybe we'll do a Wine Wednesday cast with you.
That would be awesome. That would be. And like I've said many times, you guys, and this goes out to all the listeners and stuff too, anyone wants to, I mean, there's no advertising charge or anything right now on this podcast. If I start getting thousands of listeners, that's where I might actually do that. But right now, if you guys are having a product launch or something and you just want to do a quick call in or anything like that, I'll put it on the show.
We could do Casey Checks In from around the globe.
That would be so awesome.
The cake weather in Australia is sunny with a chance of Ganesh.
All you have to do is you can just on Messenger like this, just leave me a voicemail. They crop out after a minute, like it's going to stop after a minute. But if you leave multiple ones and just repeat the last few words you said last time, I can string them all together.
Cool.
Yep. Free advertising, free coverage of where in the world is Casey?
Where in the world is Casey Lackey? It's like Carmen Sandiego.
Exactly.
Your national villain.
And also that game doesn't work anymore because that whole game's point was to make you learn how to use an almanac, and now we have Google, so.
Exactly.
Yeah, we're old. Again, old.
That's my favorite fancy dress is Carmen Sandiego because it's perfect.
Well, there you go. So we will make a poster of you as Carmen Sandiego, and you call in your adventures, and we'll put them on the show.
I'm calling in from an island on Bahrain. I'm a rain. It's Burning Man.
Yep, sure. Well, whenever we can get to the same cake shows at the same time soon, that would be awesome to hang out. And when we all have all tamanis that we can just hang out at cake shows.
Sounds good to me.
Cool.
Well, sleep well, Miss Kim.
Yeah.
Do we need to do like a nice clean exit for this?
No, we're doing it now. We're saying thanks for coming on the show, guys.
Thank you for having us on the show.
Yeah, this has been fun. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun, and we love talking with you, and we love seeing you even more. So,
yep.
Yay!
So thanks so much, and we will talk to you again soon.
Okay, bye.
Right, bye.
This has been the Eat the Evidence podcast. A warm thanks to all of my contributors, and you can find out more about them and the things discussed on today's episode in the show notes by visiting the podcast section of the Eat the Evidence website, eat-the-evidence.com/podcast. There, you'll find social media links, as well as links to iTunes, Stitcher, and other places where you can subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. I've also posted detailed instructions on how to leave me a Facebook voicemail message and other options to call into the show. Please do feel free at any time to call in your very own cake formation, funny story, talk about a challenge you're having or have recently overcome, or rant about something driving you crazy. And if you like the show, please post a review on iTunes and share it with all of your sugar artist friends. This show was produced and edited by me, Kimberly Chapman. Thank you so much for listening, and remember, you are an amazing artist, and everyone involved with this podcast supports you. You can do it! Until next time, bye-bye, and good luck with whatever you're working on.